Let's welcome Amanda Pickett. Amanda is with Connecticut's State Education Resource Center, otherwise known as CERC. She oversees the work of Safe Schools, Healthy Students in three districts across the state, helping them build their capacity to provide mental health supports through multi-tiered systems, restorative practices, community collaboration, and classroom management. Amanda, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
I understand that the three lead education agencies that are implementing Safe Schools, Healthy Students are quite invested in the success of their programs. So it sounds like you've designed a very well-oiled machine that has empowered your LEAs across the state to implement strategies independently. Would you mind talking about Connecticut's approach, the efficiency of it, as well as maybe an example of unanticipated roadblocks that you might have had to overcome?
Okay. So here in Connecticut, we are very excited about the leadership of our LEAs. So we have 163 independent LEAs across the state who all manage what works best for them. So we were really intentional with our approach that we ensured that the LEAs were empowered to make best fit decisions for how they implemented the core strategies around Safe Schools, Healthy Students in their districts. With that being said, each of the LEAs were part of our state management teams. So we met early on in the grant to really outline what were the evidence-based practices that we wanted to look at for implementation. So we all agreed that these were evidence-based strategies that we could look at. These are approaches that were based in research that could impact the most outcome and change that they wanted to see tied to the core elements of Safe Schools, Healthy Students. But then we left it up to the LEAs to choose which interventions matched their contextual needs. Each of our districts are unique. New Britain, Middletown, and Bridgeport all have a host of other initiatives and projects that they were working on. So we wanted to ensure that what they chose matched and aligned with other things that they were participating in. So that was really the empowerment piece. We gave them the option of here's what we think are best practice evidence-based strategies, but now go back to your home base and find what works best for your needs based on data and looking at how does it align and integrate with other things that you have going on. Also with that is Connecticut as a state level entity, so our State Department of Ed has invested a lot in multi-tiered system of supports around SRBI for academics as well as behavior. So we wanted to ensure that systems were an integral part of how districts approach this work. So looking at what were we using for data, how are we designing leadership teams, how are we encouraging collaboration and coordination. And then what were those evidence-based strategies going to be that met all of those needs? So I think the leadership of the state to ensure that we were using a systems approach in this work was really important. Something that did come up as a roadblock or a hiccup was the data piece. So since there is some state-level data collection that LEAs do participate in, it wasn't capturing the level of data, especially outcome data, that we were looking for the grant. So it took us a little bit of time and some work with our evaluation partners to really look at how are we going to collect meaningful data to ensure outcomes for students.
Amanda, this really proves to me that you've implemented Safe Schools, Healthy Students throughout the state in a way that it was actually intended. You know, the model, the framework does not try and make every school district do the same darn thing. One size does not fit all. And you used the word empowering to describe this. So thanks for touching on that. You also mentioned leadership teams. Would you mind telling us what those teams look like?
Yes. And thank you for that kudos. It was a lot of hard work. And it took, honestly, bringing folks to the table. So that links directly with the leadership team piece. Oftentimes, when we start this work, districts already have teams. They have zillions of teams who are meeting for zillions of reasons. So what we tried hard to do is let's take an inventory of the teams that exist. And then how can we best meet the needs of the grant and align with a team that maybe already exists but expand membership. And it was really important for us to have true representation beyond just our school, our typical school players. So we needed, you know, buy-in from all the way up to the superintendent and school leaders. We needed teacher representation, general ed and special ed. We needed all of our support staff to be represented. We needed families at the table. We needed student voice to be part of our decision making, and also community collaboration. So this took some time. So at the state level, it really was about our internal leadership team valuing getting feedback from others. And then I want to give a lot of kudos to the LEAs, who I think implemented an even more in-depth leadership teams at their community meetings, where they brought together the stakeholders that impacted their community the most.
So you've got leadership at the local level, you've got leadership at the state level. I'm curious to know, how are successes identified and acknowledged at both levels?
So this has been really the charge of our no-cost extension work. We were so heavy and deep in the work the first 5 years of the grant that we didn't do a great job of highlighting all of that success at the state level. So for the state level, our no-cost extension year, we spent all of our activity time really highlighting the successes of the three LEAs. So we did that through in a couple ways. We did a online website where we shared resources, best practice, how did they do it, the down and dirty of it, how much did it cost, how much people time, what did it look like. We also did a large statewide conference for over 300 people, where we had a keynote address kind of behavior and mental health concerns at the global level. And then the breakout sessions were really targeted around what did this look like in our LEAs and across the state. And then we were also providing targeted TA to schools who weren't our three LEAs, but using the lessons learned from them to guide that more tailored supports to those districts who weren't part of our overall five-year grant. I will say that our three LEAs, I think, did a much better job of highlighting their successes as the grant was going on. So each of those LEAs worked hard at aligning and integrating their Safe Schools, Healthy Students work with their overall framework of their district. So really looking at how do we sustain this work beyond the 5 years to ensure that it's aligned with the district vision and mission and their work plans. They've also deeply rooted in their website and Facebook and ensuring that communities at large know what they're doing. So I'm going to highlight New Britain here for one of our LEAs. Their website and their Facebook page has all their activities that they're doing around Safe Schools, Healthy Students. But they've done such a great job that it's not just coined as Safe Schools, Healthy Students in New Britain. It's really their work and what they do. And it's deeply rooted in their mission, vision, and their district activities.
Thank you for that incredibly comprehensive look at how successes are acknowledged and how the LEAs themselves are ensuring that their wider communities also know about this work. Amanda, I can't thank you enough for spending a few minutes of your time to talk with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.